Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Falcons coming off of a three-game slide now after their most recent loss to the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. So when you look at those last three losses, Kirk Cousins, zero touchdowns, six interceptions. Now, Coach Raheem Morris, he joined Dukes and Bell, and Carl straight up, can I call him Carl on this show? Should I just call him Dukes? Dukes straight up asked him what's going on.
Duke, obviously, he didn't play well last week. You can't hide that fact. I don't think we do. I think we come out right away. I think he said it. Actually, I know he said it. He said it right after the game. I said it right after the game. And it's just like, you know, those things happen when you play tough games and you have tough losses and you throw four interceptions. It should be hard to win a football game. You know, I was more proud of the fact that the guys gave us a chance to be in the football game in the first place, because that could have got ugly. You know, when you do things like that, you throw pick sixes and you throw four interceptions and it doesn't go your way. But I got a lot of confidence in our quarterback as well, right? I got a lot of confidence that he can bounce back and he'll be ready to go. He's had tough games before. He's had tough stretches before. We've been in that spot and he's been in that spot. And I'm very confident that he'll be able to bounce out of it and come out of it and get us back. We're going where he needs to go, right? He's done a lot of carrying for us this year. He's won a lot of big games. He's thrown for 500 yards. He's won game-winning drives. He's did it in a two-minute. He's done a lot of really good things, and I got a lot of confidence that he can go out there, gather himself, be ready to play, and get us back on track, right? You know, you don't want to lose the fact that you still have the pin. You're still 6-6. You're still tied or got a half-game lead, however you want to look at it, on first place. And you want this guy to finish what he started. And I got a lot of confidence he'll go out there and be able to do that.
And, Coach, we echo those sentiments because he was the focal point. Everybody from Bijan to guys on the defensive side talk about his leadership, the intangibles, everything he brings here is like almost like another coach. Saw it on the sideline myself in Tampa. Do you give him his space? Do you talk to him? Does Zach, do you sit down with him and say, how can we help you?
He's pretty good with the routine and the rhythm that he has. You know, normally he always comes and talks, and he has the ability to compartmentalize his thoughts and bring them in and be able to say it to the people he needs to say it to, whether it's myself, whether it's Zach, whether it's TJ. Win, lose, or draw, you know, might I add. And throw for 500 yards or not, you know, he's going to be able to put all those things together and see what he left out there. You know, it's always the glass is always half full when you're talking about playing the quarterback position, and he's always that way regardless. And then having a tough game on things that he knows he can complete, or he knows he can get done, or he knows he can execute better, that's always going to be a little tougher on you when you're that hard on yourself and that critical on yourself. And we all need a little help sometime to be brought back. And, like, that's what we all kicking. That's what his teammates kicking. That's what we. That's our job. That's our job to pick him up. That's our job to bring him back and let him go through his process this week. Right? The minute you go out there on the field and you get the new game plan, and you go out there and you're able to execute things and you get back in the huddle, it's time to go to work. And you got to shut all that stuff out. And it's a part of the mental toughness that comes along with playing this game.
Coach Raheem Morris joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, as we visit with Coach each and every week exclusively here on the show, as we talk about coordinators, first-time defensive coordinator, when you got that opportunity, and then you go back and watch a game, you'd be like, damn, I should have ran that, or, you know, you're critiquing yourself. And I'm wondering the process with Zach being a first-time coordinator. Last week, Coach, we're running the ball, killing him, like B is going off, and we're like, let's keep running the ball. Right. And I felt like we went away from it. And in those moments, I know you're allowing your coaching staff to have the freedom to do what they need to do to coach, But as you guys review and look back at stuff, how do you view that, and what do you tell him as a first-time coordinator?
Yeah, it's always hard to say, even when you're a first-time coordinator. I don't care how long you've been doing it. There's always going to be calls you got out there that you don't like, that you're going to want back. You know, and it's hard to say when you run the ball 37 times last week that you want to do it more. You know, like, what are some things left out there in the run game? Yes, right? Do you want your average to look a little bit better because you want to break one of them things off and absolutely run one for 40 yards to make that thing even look better, to not have to even call the next plays? Yes. Like, are there times where you open up things in the run game where it looks good in the play action pass and something doesn't go your way? There's no doubt about it. Like, when you call those plays, you're hoping and you feel like they can get executed. And then when you get it out there and it's something, a look that you're not personally, that you didn't personally get or you didn't want, yes, you want to pull it back, and you can't always go get it out of air without spending timeouts or using some of those things. So there's always going to be things that he's going to want back. And this has been all season. This has been right from the beginning. Like, you know, when you don't call it, you're on the side. You're the best second guesser in the world. I've been there for a long time, you know, looking at Monty Kiffin, being around some of the great coordinators around with Jim Haslett and some of those type of guys. You're a great second caller. And then when you go do it and you're making these calls, and then after the game, you got to reflect for yourself and say, man, I would want that back, or I didn't like that call, or I wish I had this play call back, or whatever the case may be. And I know Zach does that every single week, you know, no matter what, just like Kurt, no matter whether it's the 500 yards or whether it's not a great game and we had the interceptions, right? But there was a lot of really good looks out there. We left a lot of – and things would look a lot differently if we were to complete some of the balls, the opportunity balls that we had out there that we didn't get done, like in that first drive to Mooney.
Coach Raheem Morris, guys, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios up here at Flowery Branch. There are Hall of Fame quarterbacks that have been benched, and they've had great careers. What was it ever an intent, ever moment in that game where you say, look, Kirk is a pro, but he's having a bad day in the office. Maybe I bring Penix out and see if he can give us a spark, even though the game was still because it was a one-possession game, that wasn't even in your mind?
The game's just way too close, and he's just way too one play away to go out there and win it for us. If you just pan back just short time ago, we played Philadelphia Eagles. We're at that place. It's not going great on offense. We're running the football well. We're doing really good. We're holding them on defense. We're keeping it tight enough. And then all of a sudden, boom, lightning strikes. You hit Mooney on a zero. You go for one on fourth down. You get a fourth and two. You get that one. Then, boom, they go zero. You hit Mooney on a zero across the middle of the field. Touchdown. You get the ball in the last drive of the game, and he goes right down the field, and he scores a touchdown. Right? There's been also games where we played in New Orleans where we didn't score an offensive touchdown and won the game. We scored on special teams, and we also scored on defense. Right? So this team is built to win. And no matter what they want to do, it is not necessarily come at the expense of pointing the finger or blaming a guy when you want to bench him, right? A lot of times in this profession, we pull the triggers too quickly on some of these guys that got just intangibles to go out there and win football games. And we've seen them do that in these moments here already in this short season that we've had together. And every time he's out there, it gives you belief that he can go out there and win it.
Yeah, it's interesting as we talk about all the things that played out in our last game. And we are going to talk about the Vikings, guys,
because I get the excitement. I started it. I drafted Penix. I completely understand where you guys are coming from. But like,
you got an insurance policy.
So
that's
like,
part of it.
I'm not going to tell you. You guys are not wrong for feeling that way. It was the excitement that we had for wanting to go get this guy and this young man and bring him in here and learn from a crafty veteran, a guy that can go out there and win football games. But it doesn't change the fact that Kurt has us in first place and Kurt has his position to go out there and really win the South. And it's all within arm's reach.
Woo, man.
Plus, people forget. I know the last three games, okay, they are what they are, but the way they started the season, the way things were going for Kirk Cousins and this team, minus the week one loss, but after that, right?
Yeah, well,
I would ask you. What people are you talking about?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No.
What people?
No. I'm talking, you know, what I'm doing?
I have the turntables.
I'm talking about the people that you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that.
I would tell you that those people.
Maybe some talking heads on TV.
What's the old saying? You can't see more than, you can't see anything that's not right in front of you or whatever. There's like.
Kind of I know some, where you're going.
Some kind of old saying like that
one of us.
Tunnel vision.
There you go.
Fans have tunnel vision, Tiff, and they only see the last thing you did. You know, just like if we talk about Georgia next segment, I say something that's not that they're not going to win. All the good things I've said the entire time I've been on a host at the station or working at the station about Georgia and Kirby Smart are out the window, and I'm a clown and a fanboy for Florida, and I hate Georgia. That's what they're all going to say. And that's how fans feel about players' performances. You're only as good as the last thing you put out there to them, and that's how they view things. That's how you – and media, in a lot of ways, represents that, and that's how they write, talk, and act about said players.
Well, and I think, listen, I don't, and this is something I always struggle with on the player side of it in the locker room, because you as a player, you look at the season as a whole, right? But I understand on this side of it, you are hyper-focused at 1 o'clock on Sunday, right? Every media guy is there ready to look at the first formation and how far walked up the corners are after the bye week, and, you know, how many times Kirk runs play action. And when things don't go according to plan like you think they should, you tend to hyper-focus on that. And look, it's not just a loss. It's three losses and a bye week. And so I think that – and Raheem obviously was very receptive to that. I thought it was interesting. And guys, I've been around these quarterback battles before. I've been around, you know, teams that are, hey, you play the backup. When do you play the backup? You don't play the backup normally when the quarterback isn't playing well or when you think he's not winning games. You play the backup quarterback when the starter is actively losing games for you, all right, and actively losing the season for you. So I think that's the you know, kind of have to weigh, you know, what Raheem is saying, because I think that he's looking at Kirk going, he probably lost that game, right? But if he starts losing the season, he mentioned that they were in first place by a half game because of tiebreaker. I hear in his voice that if they start losing the season because of Kirk, then that's when you have to look at making decisions.
No, that's exactly what I heard within that too. You're going to stick with him. There's not going to be a Michael Penix sighting, I don't believe, this coming weekend. And I think it's going to take a lot more than that. As you just highlighted, yeah, for them to actually end up making a switch.
Yeah, and the word insurance policy was used in that interview. And I just don't think that they view Michael Penix as an insurance policy.
I don't either.
I think they view him as a future. And if a major injury happened, then the future would be now. But I don't think it's like, oh, well, if this guy sucks today, we got this other guy and we'll see what he is. Because you don't know. Michael Penix has only played in a couple of situations in the NFL, and they were both mop-up duty, and so to speak, the game was out of hand. So you don't know what he's going to be like in those situations in the NFL, because we've seen clutch players go to the NFL and not play well in clutch situations.
I think it's the connotation that you're putting with the term, yeah, insurance policy.
I think when you drafted him, it would have been fine to say you drafted him as an insurance policy. You don't know what he's cut. You know what Kirk's doing, yeah, off the Achilles. You really don't know what he's going to be with this team or what he's, mm-hmm, with Zach. I think
now
that's
that I
fair.
Think about it, yeah.
I disagree. I think they drafted him to say we're going to let this guy sit because we think Kirk's the next 2 years. That's what the contract tells me.
I hear both
me.
Of you, but I think when you think of backup quarterback, that is what you think of just in general because it's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.